Good morning, Church on the Rock.
Good morning, Rashad.
My name is Rashad Cunningham. I'm the pastor here. If you didn't know, I'm not just the guy that gets up and talks a lot. We here are excited about God's word. We're excited about God's worship. So we like to get going by saying good morning to each other. It gets the juices flowing. It gets me going. So now that you know my name, when I say good morning, Church on the Rock, you say good morning, Rashad. Let's be a little bit louder so the kids can hear us this time around. Good morning, Church on the Rock.
Good morning, Rashad.
Boom, boom. We are in our series, Building His Body, Breaking Our Barriers. We're in the final 3 weeks of this. It's what we finished out the year because we want to remind ourselves of what the vision at Church on the Rock is. Internally, we are building His body. Externally, we are breaking our barriers. And we're going to be continuing in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. Let's go ahead and read those verses real quick. It says, "Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands." He says, "Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now," that's kind of like "but God," "but now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ," by the blood of Christ. So I wanted to start off this sermon just to help you understand why I'm taking the angle that I feel like God has laid on my heart. Yesterday, many of you showed up for the Christmas parade. First of all, give your hand, just come on, just clap that out real quick. Amazing, amazing how Church on the Rock showed up and was serving and just being in the community. I overheard some conversations. I think Elizabeth was talking to my wife, and they were talking about how it's cold this year, but it's nothing like it was 2 years ago. If some of you were there 2 years ago, I came in, I had long johns, jeans, hoodie, something over my face, something on my head, and a jacket. It was freezing. I was still cold. So, this year was nothing compared to last year. It wasn't warm enough that Jason should have had on shorts like he did, but that's Jason. Y'all just ignore that. But also, Lucy brought up how 2 years ago, or even last year, everybody had to be hands on deck. Everybody had to be serving at a high level. We were only, 20 people at one time, 25 people, 40 people. And this year, I was able to come and just talk to the community and just be there. I was able to come and just enjoy it because the hands and feet of the church were doing so much of the serving, and I literally got to talk to people who on Facebook have known about me but never seen me and didn't know exactly who we are. I was casting vision. I got to pray for somebody from Martinsville who's going through some things, all because of what you guys did as a church. And it's funny because you can't appreciate that unless you remember what it used to be, right? You can't appreciate all the things that happened yesterday. It may have just seemed easy to some of you guys, but a lot of us remember what it was like 2 years ago. A lot of us remember what it was like last year. And as a result, we were blown away by what we saw yesterday. We were blown away. So when we look at this scripture and Paul says, remember last week we said that if you don't know, now you know. And we talked about you need to know His goal. You need to know His glory. You need to know His gift. Well, this kind of ties right there in that. That's why it says therefore with that conjunction, because you have to really understand last week to appreciate what He's about to show you, to appreciate what He's about to tell you. So to kind of put you in the right mindset, I want you to have that understanding that you can't appreciate today unless you remember yesterday, right? And that's what Paul's going to do. He's going to remind us of who we were. He's going to remind us of our position. He's going to remind us of our status and what it used to be. And to appreciate the gift of God, the glory of God, and the goal of God, you have to remember what it used to be for you. So for some of us, we don't appreciate it because we just don't know. Some of you yesterday may not have thought it was that great. It was an awesome turnout, all that, but that's normal, right? And we would say, no, you had to be here last year. And the year before that. Some of you have been coming to this church over the last 3 months, and you're looking around, and you see 140, 150, and you're like, that's awesome, that's normal. But we remember when it was 20 and when it was 25, so we appreciate any attendance we have just because of what we remember from the past, and that's where Paul has this right here. He says, therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. My first point on here is we need to remember that we were names in the community. We need to remember that we were names in the community. Now, I have to give you a little context. Gentiles was anybody who was not Jewish, okay? So some of you may have never heard that word or have heard it and it's never been explained. Gentiles were anyone who was not Jewish, as simple as that. So if you're not Jewish, if you were not of Israel, you were a Gentile. As a result, there's a barrier there. There was a barrier that was put there because that affords us to start calling each other names. And when you think about it, this was a name that like to call somebody a Gentile or to call somebody the uncircumcised, like it has some oomph behind it. I think back to when David was about to fight Goliath. Give me 1 Samuel real quick. When David was about to fight Goliath, look what David said. David spoke to the man who were standing by him saying, what will be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God? Like, that's how David was saying it, right? Like, he's looking at this uncircumcised Philistine. Like, who does this dude think he is, right? This uncircumcised. So it had this negative connotation with it for somebody to call you the uncircumcised, especially when you're talking to the church of Ephesus, a predominantly Gentile church. He says, remember, you were Gentiles in the flesh, the uncircumcision. That's what they called you, right? He just told you about what you are in Christ, what you are in God, and you may not appreciate it if you don't go back to what you were in the community without Christ, to what you were in the community without God. Let's think about that just today. Let's bring that to today. I've preached, by the end of this year, Lord willing, I will have preached 43 sermons here. And then I've preached another 4 at other churches on a Sunday and countless times over at Aves, okay? So I preach a lot. That's a lot of what I've done, my works, kind of what I've done. But no matter how many sermons I preach, there's times when I'm just riding around the community and I'll go into a store and I got some sweats on or something and maybe they're not directly on my hip and I got a hoodie on and it doesn't say anything about Church on the Rock and I'm named. I hear it. He looks ghetto. And y'all laugh, right? You laugh, right? But think of what comes behind that, right? No matter how many sermons I preach, no matter how many people I've loved at Church on the Rock, who I've led to salvation or any of that stuff, he's ghetto. That's the name I got in the community based on the clothes I wear. Some of you are single parents. You work 2 jobs tirelessly. You come home and you feed your children and you raise them as best as you can, but if they act out one time in public, you're a bad parent. That's your name. All the work you've done at home, all the work you've done to really pour into your children, you're a bad parent. That's the name they give you in the community. That's the name they give you sometimes even in the church. Some of you have went through some hard times in your marriages, maybe not in your marriage anymore, and they automatically assume you're a bad Christian or you're a bad spouse or whatever it is, and you just get names. Remember that you are names in the community. That's what you are. And I like how that kind of, it hurts because your work, all your efforts, all of the things you've done, Gentile in the flesh, still gets you called uncircumcised by the so-called circumcised. That's real. That is defeating, to be honest with you, because it puts in standard. Last week we talked about what God created, and now we're looking at what you've created. You've just created a name for yourself. Or no matter what you create, depending on what people see on the outside in that moment, that's what you are to them. That's a barrier. And it's not just on our side of how people see us, but it's how we see people. Think about Christians. Think about the church. See, we get in this holy huddle on a Sunday morning, And if people don't look like we want them to look on the outside, then we call them the uncircumcised. We call them the heathens, the pagans, the Gentiles, because they're not what we want them to be in this church. That's what we do. Instead of loving them, we put up a barrier and just call them out for what we see on the outside. I am just as guilty as anybody else. We had a couple of men who had met together some weeks before, and we got to joking about different denominations, including ourselves. And in the midst of that, somebody was hurt and saying, you've taken a name and placed it on people. Instead of individually caring, praying, and loving those people, we're just making jokes about a name that we've placed on people based on outside things, and it hurt the brother, and I was guilty. I was laughing with everybody else, and that's what we do. That's what we do. We say, if they're not Baptist or if they're not what we are, then we can laugh and joke and make fun, and that hurts, and that's a barrier. And Paul says, remember, before you get all high and mighty about what you are, this gift that God has given you, remember that we were just names. We were just named. So look at this. I love it from both sides, but especially from the Jewish side. Go back to that verse 2:11 real quick. I got to teach this real quick because it was placed on my heart. It says, you who were called uncircumcised by the so-called circumcision. So look at this. The circumcision would have been the Jews, the Israelites, the ones who so-called were on the inside, looking at us on the outside and kind of looking down at us. I think Paul tells them to remember what they were, so that they don't become like the Israelites did. If you go all the way back to the beginning, go back to Genesis 1:3, and if you're taking notes, follow me with this right here. What was the first commandment that God said? The first commandment. Anybody? Anybody? Let there be light. See, we jump and we think it's one of those 10 commandments, but this was the first commandment right here. Let there be light. He commanded that there be light, and there was light, right? If you walk through the Bible, you'll see that from day one, this commandment right here, let there be light, is what God has been saying to us who are believers and to Israel from day one. You see, he saw darkness, he saw a void, he saw chaos, and he said, let there be light. When he chose Abraham, he told Abraham that you would be a blessing to all the nations, right? And then in Isaiah 49, look at this right here. He says, It is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. God said this, I will also make you, Israel, a light of the nations so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. So even there, he's saying, let there be light. You see that? He's looking at Israel and saying that when I chose Israel, when I chose you to be my people, I chose you to be light among the darkness, the nations, the Gentiles, those who don't know me. And then in John 1:4, Jesus steps on the scene and we see in him was life, and the life was the what? The light of man. Jesus being the let there be light, man being the darkness, the chaos, the void. And then what did Jesus say to the disciples? Let's go to Matthew real quick. He says, you are the what? The light of the world. It's the same commandment from Genesis 1:3. Let there be light. You are the light of the world. And then finally, when he tells us to go make disciples in Matthew 28, he's literally telling you to go make light. From Genesis 1, he said, let there be light. So why did the Israelites, how did they fall? Where did they fail? In that right there. They were so consumed in their position that they forgot their purpose. Some of us get so consumed in the fact that we're Christians, consumed that we're Church on the Rock, consumed in what's going on inside this building, that we forgot what our purpose is, to be light, the first commandment. And if you think about it, if you just look at Ephesians chapter 2, if you just go back in Ephesians chapter 2, you were dead, you were devilish, you were dirty, you were dark, and he made you alive. He literally did a let there be light in your life. That's been his focus from day one, let there be light. So now I have to ask you, Do you remember that you were literally just names? Like, just stop for a moment and think about what you are in this community to people, regardless of your church attendance, regardless of your prayer life, regardless of how good you are to people. One mistake gets you a name. One mistake gets you a name. Seriously. One mistake gets you just a name. And all the work and everything that you've done on the outside to look some type of way or be some type of way, one mistake gets you a name. And that's what you were. That's what you are without Christ. That's what you are outside of God. You are a bad parent because your child decided to act up today. You are a bad individual because you didn't stick it out in your marriage. No matter how hard you tried, no matter what went on behind the scenes, no matter what you did, the fact that it failed, I'm going to call you what you look like on the outside, regardless of knowing what's going on the inside. That's what we're kind of reduced to, is just names in the world. That's what we are. And what happens is, we have outside requirements, but no inside alignment, right? So, like, I look like something to all of you, but that's just what I've done in my hands. That's just what I've done on the outside. If I'm not aligned inside, it doesn't actually matter. So even if I am the circumcised to you, he's the pastor of the church, he's a good guy, he's this, he's that, that's just what I've done with these hands on the outside. That relationship on the inside is personal and it's individual. So it works both ways. One, it tells me that no matter what I look like to you, something has to be going on the inside for this to be real. I can claim to be the circumcised, the Christian all I want, but if I don't have this internal, personal relationship, it doesn't mean something. It's just with hands, as that verse says in 2:11. But on the flip side, no matter what they call you in this community, no matter what they call you in this world, no matter what they call you in this church, it's about you being circumcised on the inside. It's about your relationship on the inside. So he looks at you and says, remember that you were names in the community. That's all you were. You were just names in the community. Whether those were good names, whether those were bad names, that's all you were, based on what you did with your hands. But based on what God has done on the inside, you're a new creation. You're a child of God. You're saved. So I know that's kind of dry for us. And I know that's kind of like, well, come on, Rashad, where are you going with this? But that's exactly where I'm going with it. Like, let that sit on you. What have you been called? Seriously. What have you been called? You've been called some things, brother? You've been called some things? Yeah, exactly. Just laugh at it, right? For real. Because that should hit more than anything. All the work I've done, all the stuff that I've tried to put together, all the way I've tried to put myself in a position to be called this name or that name, and none of it even matters if something's not going on inside in my relationship with Christ. This outside circumcision is just by the hands. A lot of us walk around high and mighty on our holier-than-thou horse. That's not going to get you in heaven. What we think about you is not going to get you in heaven, and praise God, what we think about you is not going to keep you out of heaven either. So Paul starts off talking to the Gentiles right after he's told them about the gift of God and says, remember, you were just the Gentiles in the flesh. You were the uncircumcised, called by the so-called circumcision. This is what you were. This should make you appreciate last week even more. This should really make last week mean something when we say you've been made a new creation by God. My second point, go to the second point. Remember, we were neglected in our condition. So you were simply names in the community, but you were also in your condition, by nature, you were neglected. Y'all remember the song, Hip Hop Parade, ho, hey, okay, y'all don't remember that? Then say it with me. Hey, oh, all right. No, the name of that group was Naughty by Nature. That was the name of the group, Naughty by Nature. You were literally, in your condition, you were naughty by nature. That's what you were. You were neglected by nature. What do I mean by that? Go to verse 12. Go to verse 12. Were you still doing a hip-hop parade back there, Bonnie? Is that what you're doing? Okay. He says, look, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenant of promise. You were neglected. You were separate from the person, the Christ, right? You were excluded from the privileges. That's what the commonwealth is. You were excluded from the privileges of the Israel community, right? And then you were also strangers to the promises of the covenant. You were neglected by nature. Your nature made you not an Israelite. Your nature, you were born this way. You were born naughty by nature. You were born neglected by nature. That was your condition. He's looking at the church of Ephesus and saying, remember, from everything we've talked about these last 4 weeks, that was not yours. That's what he did for you. Did anybody ever have like a friend in high school or middle school, or maybe some of the teenagers doing here right now, that was like rich, or that was like balling, shot calling, kind of had everything, right? Like when you were friends with that person, you got access to things you never had access to, right? I had a friend, I haven't got a chance to talk to him in a while. I had a friend named Michael Cranfield. Some of you may know him, some of you may not. Michael had a blessed family. They were blessed financially. See, at my house, we had fruit rice. We had cereal called fruit rice. At his house, they had Fruity Pebbles. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I don't know what it was. Something was just a little bit different about the Fruity Pebbles versus the fruit rice, or the Cinnamon Toast Crunch versus the cinnamon squares, right? The Fruit Loops versus the fruit rounds, right? See, me, we had the fruit rounds and the cinnamon squares and the fruit rice. I went to Michael's house, and as a result of being in relation with him, I had privileges. I had commonwealth. I was allowed to eat the Fruity Pebbles. Mama didn't get the Fruity Pebbles, but Michael Cranfield had Fruity Pebbles. So as a result, I realized that my relationship with him got me access to all kinds of stuff I would have never had access to. I mean, his parents treated me like one of their own, right? Well, look at this. This is what he's saying. Remember, you were not one of God's. You didn't have access to the Fruity Pebbles, right? Y'all was on fruit rice. We're going to leave it there. Y'all was eating hot dogs, right? But then when I went to Mike's house, I was eating steak. I was eating Spam. But when I went to Mike's house, we had lobster. Like, I was just like, wow, this dude, there's access to things I would have never experienced, trips I went on and stuff with him that I never would have had without that relationship with Michael Cranfield, right? So, like, I look at this. You are neglected from all the beautiful things in chapter 1 of Ephesians when he says, in him you have redemption, in him you are saved, in him you are forgiven, in him, all throughout the book of Ephesians. You have no access to any of that without a relationship with Christ. So he looks at you and says, remember, you were separate from Christ. You were excluded from the privileges of Israel. You were strangers to the covenants of the promise. How many of you, before you started walking with God, didn't even know what a covenant was? Yeah, same here. Didn't even know what a covenant was. I tell people all the time, I didn't know what the Gospels were. I thought they were a group like the Temptations. Like the Temptations, the Gospels. I was like, is that a singing group or something? It was a stranger thing, literally. I had no clue about the promises of the covenants, the privileges that came with Christ. I didn't know any of this stuff. In fact, I believed in God, but I had never heard the good news or paid attention to it when a pastor was preaching it. So, YOLO, you only live once. That's what I was doing. Alan, you know my story. Alan grew up with me. Alan, thanks for being here, brother. But remember, man, growing up, how mama would drag us to church. You'd be there with us, and we ain't paying no attention, right? Because all we know is that God is real and that hell is hot. And if I got to look like my pastor did, Pastor Fletcher, three-piece suit, got it all together, yeah, I can't be that, so I might as well just live life because I'm going to hell. That's how I grew up. Alan was there with me during that time. And as a result, I was separate from Christ. I was excluded from the commonwealth. I was a stranger to the promise. My condition neglected me. This is who I was. So like when I'm crying on these songs or when I come to this altar to just kneel, it's not always asking God for something. Sometimes I'm just talking to God to pray to him because of all the things I know I didn't have before Christ. Amen. All the names people still call me today that don't matter no more because of Christ. Do you guys remember that? Or for some of you, that's where you are right now. I want you to really think about that. I didn't want a whole bunch of illustrations or nothing in this sermon because I really want you to feel the weight of what you were or what you maybe still are. You know, sometimes we get so caught up in wanting to be entertained on Sunday morning that we don't want to be edified. We don't want to be taught nothing. We want to come to service to hear somebody dance on a stage, you know, with all this funny stuff. But what about when I start asking you real questions like, do you remember what it was without Christ so that you could actually appreciate what it is with Christ? Think about that. Because that should motivate you to go out, get past all of your personality things, and actually reach out to people with the gospel because you remember what it was like without it. I remember literally feeling like I was going to hell. I had conversations with Alan about, man, I believe in that God stuff, but I'm going to hell anyway, man. So look, this is what I'm doing tonight. Thought I was going to hell. And I lived as such because somebody didn't remember what it used to feel like to be that and didn't reach out to me at that time that I was thinking that, or maybe I just wasn't listening. Whatever it is, do you remember what it is to be neglected because of your condition, knowing that you have nothing that you can do about except for believing in Christ and, except for believing in Christ Jesus? Like, do y'all feel the weight of that? Can you think through that for one moment? How are you doing with that? Have you opened up your Bible to read about what you were and what your position was with God to even really know that you were neglected because of just who you were? A Gentile in the flesh, the uncircumcised. That's who you were. That's when this stuff starts getting real, and that's when you start asking, man, how can you go out in front of people and proclaim the gospel? And I'm not the most extrovert person that you guys think I am. I'm a homebody. I really am. But I get the can't help it when I think about God because I know what he did in my life. I know how neglected I was. I know what I've been called and what I've been named in this community. So it makes me want to go out and share the gospel. It makes me want to gather with my brothers and sisters and encourage them day to day to day. So my third point. Remember that we had nothing of comfort. So we were names in the community. We were neglected by our condition. But look at this. We had nothing of comfort. I want you to see, go back to verse 12 real quick. In verse 12, you see right here, it says that not only were we separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth, strangers to the covenants of promise, we had no hope and were without God in the world. Many of you know about Lewis and Amanda Urbanczyk and the things that Lewis went through and being in the hospital for the last 11 weeks, fighting for his life, possibly could have been taken from us. And the entire time, even during that time, Amanda Urbanczyk lost her father as well. How do you stand another day? How do you wake up another day? How do you not give up on life when your husband is in the hospital fighting for his life? We're not sure if he's going to make it. They don't even know what's going on in his heart. They had no clue, no conclusions that would give us some kind of peace or comfort in the direction we could go. And then she loses her father on top of it. How do you wake up another day? Ask Amanda Urbanczyk. She'll tell you, my faith. I have a God in this world. I have hope. Ask Marge. Ask Lily. Hi, Lily. I saw you waving at me. Hi, girl. How do you get through what you're going through right now? Somebody's in here going through something that is overwhelming, breaking you down financially, relationally. Maybe you feel lonely. You're single. Maybe you're struggling in your marriage. Maybe parenting is just a little overwhelming right now. How do you continue on in this world? Well, here's the thing. I remember what it was like without God. I had no hope. I had no reasoning. I had no understanding. I had no reason to wake up. So I drank myself night after night after night trying to get rid of the hopelessness in my life. I turned to a bottle for an answer, and all it did was make it go away for a night, and I woke up with the same problems. But when I turned to the Bible, and when I turned to Jesus, and when I gave my life over to God, there's nothing on this earth that can bring me down anymore. The person I prayed with yesterday, she was scared and hopeless about some things coming on. In the middle of the parade, I told her about my God. Why? Because I remember what it was like without him. See, you can't appreciate Sunday morning the way we appreciate Sunday morning when without remembering these things. This is where you're at for some of you, and this is where you were for some of you. And sometimes, like, we're so lackadaisical about Sunday, right? It's just on the agenda. It's part of the routine. I woke up, and I'm a good person because I went to church Sunday. Because I don't remember what I was, or maybe I just don't know what I was. Pick up your Bible and find out about yourself. See, I lived 28 years of my life without God. I lived 28 years of my life without hope, believing that anything anybody called me was true. That was the naming part. Neglected from things I didn't even know I was neglected from. So when I come in here, it could be two people in here. I'm shouting, praising, backflipping if I could, because of what God has done. You will not appreciate what he's done if you don't remember what you were. It's that simple. There's no nice, entertaining way to give this to you. This is just what the Bible says. Remember, you were names in the community. You were neglected in your condition. You were nothing. You had nothing in this world. Nothing. And then the last point, but now we are near in Christ. You see that last verse there. Go to the last verse real quick. That last verse when it says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the what? By the blood. See, we celebrate the birth, amen, but it's the blood that brought us near. It's the blood that brought us near. Think about that. You go and you think of your DNA or your blood or your what you've done in your works, right? And your works, once again, they get you names. They get you names in the community. Oh, he's such a great preacher. He's an excellent pastor, blah, 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 blah. But you know what? Those names go away real quick when you make mistakes or when that outside don't look the way people want it to look. But what this blood did, can't nobody undo. Nobody can undo that. So that's where I put my hope. That's where I rest in. That's where I land in. I know it was the naughty by nature, the neglected by nature, the all those nature things that happen as a result of us just being us, they're all dismissed because of the blood of Christ. I'm so happy it's silent right now. I really am. And I'm hoping it's silent, not because you're bored, but because you're letting this weigh on your heart real quick. But let me just stop it here and just kind of rest in this. This week I was wrestling with this text. I was just thinking through the different, like, fun ways that I could bring the message and how I could entertain my church family. That's kind of what I'm known for, is I preach with this loud and boom, 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 boom. And God said, not this week, sir. People need to rest in the realness of the fact that many of us are walking around right here, right now, with names on the outside, and we're not named on the inside. You got a lot of outside names right now, but your name's not inside that book. A lot of people don't preach on Revelation. They don't feel comfortable preaching on Revelation. Well, let me tell you this, if your name's not in the book, I don't care what the outside looks like, you're not going to heaven. There's nothing funny about that. There's no cute story about that. We have really gotten caught up on the outside appearance, the outside circumcision made by the hands, and there's nothing going on the inside. I can't joke about that. I can't laugh about that. I can't tell some neat story about that. All I can say is you need to change today, because tomorrow's not guaranteed. This next hour is not guaranteed. You being here is not enough. You have to know that the blood of Christ was shed for you. Let's stop playing games, Church on the Rock. We're getting ready for 2018. I'm excited. This is a year that we're going to call surrender. But I want to start now with that message. What you guys look like on the outside doesn't mean nothing to God. It may mean a whole lot to me, but it doesn't mean nothing to God. So take this from the message. And I know it may have seemed scattered, but take this from the message. That very first part, Ephesians 2:11. A lot of us Christians look at others on the outside and we name them based on what we see. A lot of us Christians look at circumcision that we've done with our own hands, and that would be your church attendance, that would be your what you don't do or do on Facebook and all this stuff, and none of that gets you in heaven. None of it. Only a relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, only a true surrender to his lordship is what gets you in heaven. I want you to really think about that, and then I want you to come to the altar. We have people throughout this congregation who will come up here with you and pray with you. And I want you to take it serious. I want you to understand that what you're doing on the outside is not enough. It's only what he does on the inside. And until you really believe that, you're just a circumcision made by hands. You're just an outside work. And if I love you, then I'm not going to dance and laugh around that. And I'm not going to overly grace you through that. I'm going to press you and say, come to Christ. Come to the altar. Give him that and let him start working on the inside now. Stop worrying about who's looking at you and what names they may call you for coming down here, and know that none of those names matter. If you've allowed that blood of Christ to wash you. I got some things on my heart myself that I need to work on. David, I'm going to ask you to come pray with me at the altar. But I'm asking that somebody else takes this serious, man, because you'd be lying if you told me everybody in here was a true believer of Christ. I'm not trying to be dogmatic. But y'all know my heart. I love you too much to let you just walk your way to hell. The outside is not enough. The outside is not enough. So please join me, because I'm going to be here. Normally I ask you to come to me so we could talk, we could pray, but I need this for myself right now. I need to work on making sure that it's not just the outside that I'm working on, but I'm actually allowing God to have his way with my inside. And I hope that's what you take from this message, is that you truly remember what you were if you are a believer and what you are if you're not, and allow him to work through his blood on the inside to bring you near, to bring you into those privileges and those promises in the person of Christ. That's what this message is about, and we can't laugh about that. We can't joke about that, because there's no other reason that we're here this morning except for to win you over for the kingdom, and we do that by telling you who you are and who he is. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to join us on this podcast from Church on the Rock here in Brownsburg, Indiana. If you would like any more information about our church family, our pastor, or where we meet, please visit our website, www.churchontherockbb.com.